to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So in this episode, I'd like to feature a conversation I recently recorded with Manish Daria. Manish is an employee of the Graduate Management Admission Council, and he is their lead for the Executive Assessment, or EA. The Executive Assessment is a 40-question, 90-minute test. It requires, on average, 15 to 20 hours of preparation. It was designed with executive format applicants in mind, and it's one of three standardized tests we accept as part of our executive MBA application process. We are huge fans of the EA here, and wanted to have Manish on the podcast to talk a little bit more about the test, its development, how things are going so far, GMAC's plans for the future of the test. One of the exciting notes you'll hear him reference during our conversation is that the EA is now accepted by over 50 programs, which is amazing. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about the executive assessment, highly recommend this conversation. I think you're going to enjoy it. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Manish Daria of the Graduate Management Admission Council.
Manish, welcome.
Yeah, Brett, thanks for having me here today. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
All right. So for those of our listeners who may be less familiar with the executive assessment, tell us just a little bit more about the test.
The executive assessment, it's a fairly new test. It's a standardized admission test, but it's different from other alternatives that you may be more familiar with. It's very short. It's only 90 minutes, and it really offers candidates an opportunity to assess where they stand. How ready are they to go back to business school? We recognize that a lot of the folks going back to school to programs like Darden's executive MBA program have been out of school for many, many years. And so let's look at this as an opportunity to sort of dust off some of that rust and kind of make sure you're prepared for that classroom.
When I think about the population, working professionals thinking about doing an MBA while continuing to advance their career, I think about time, right? And so one of the, I think, interesting aspects of this test is the prep time, how that may differ from something like the GMAT or GRE. Do you want to share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and we can talk much more about the sort of the underlying design principles, but it was very clear that we had to design something that took into account the very sort of complicated and busy personal lives, professional lives of the candidates who would ultimately take the executive assessment. And so a big part of that is reducing the length of the test, as I mentioned, to 90 minutes, but also ensuring that these individuals aren't spending, you know, half their days preparing for the assessment. And so we really wanted to create an experience that only required, you know, 10, 20, maybe 30 hours for some, just enough to sort of get refamiliarized with the concepts. For some, maybe who haven't spent their careers in quant, maybe spend a little more time, you know, dusting off some of those high school math skills. So that's really how we designed it, really in response to, you know, supporting the population, the working professional population.
And we think of it as a new test, right? It's been around for a few years at this point, but certainly a lot of planning and preparation and design and thoughtful, creativity went into creating the test. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that sort of behind-the-scenes look. I don't think it's something that applicants get a chance to hear too often.
So we launched the executive assessment just under 3 years ago. Darden was one of the early adopters. But it was several years in the making prior to that. It was really in response to what executive MBA programs coming to the Graduate Management Admission Council and saying, look, GMAC, is there something you can do specifically for our market, for our candidates, for our needs? Executive MBA candidates tend to be, you know, much more experienced, and they bring a lot to the table. So can you sort of tailor make something that's more appropriate than some of the other alternatives out there? So GMAC did a lot of our own research, and we went out to the schools. We talked to admissions, EMBA admissions. We talked to EMBA faculty, we talked to career services, but we also went and talked to the candidates of the EMBA program. We talked to alumni of EMBA programs, and we talked to students. We got a lot of feedback and a lot of great insight into how we could potentially go down a slightly different path than what we've done in the past. And so really it bubbled up into really four big opportunity areas as we thought about how to design the executive assessment. It kind of breaks down into four buckets. So there's, you know, how do we continue to make sure that we are providing a quality tool that candidates can be confident is really sort of going to help them understand where they stand and make sure that they are dusting off the skills that they need to be successful. The other pieces are, you know, how do we create a test that, as I said, is the right length, is the right amount of prep? So taking into account, again, the fact that the executive MBA candidates are, you know, very busy, traveling, lots of appointments, busy families. So how do we get to the right length of the test and the right amount of prep? And then finally, how do we make it relevant? You know, for executive candidates, you know, at this point in your careers, you don't necessarily need to do geometry. So let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of geometry. Let's make it more appropriate in terms of content, in terms of difficulty. Give you all some credit for the 10, 15, 20 years of work experience you're bringing to the classroom. So that's really, you know, we sort of put these design principles to work. So quality, a focus on readiness, a focus on relevance, and a focus on convenience and flexibility. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, but we are very excited. We were very excited to be the seventh school globally to accept the test. And from an admissions perspective, so prior to the executive assessment, it was really, okay, we could either not have a standardized test requirement or we could accept something like the GMAT or GRE, both great tests. But when you think about the executive MBA population, their time stress, they're really busy personally, professionally, and 100-plus hours, which is really what you see for, you know, a GMAT or GRE in terms of prep time, that's really hard for an executive candidate to fit into his or her schedule.
Yeah, and that's what we heard loud and clear. You know, and honestly, the getting back into the executive MBA program, you know, you've spent a career doing a lot of the things you need to be doing to be successful in the classroom. There is, of course, you know, some aspects of the classroom experience that maybe you haven't done throughout your career. So this is just a good opportunity to sort of check in very quickly, you know, 90 minutes, make sure that you know, you're ready for the classroom. You're making a big investment, right? Mm-hmm. This is an investment of, you know, not just dollars, but time, right? You know, yeah. You're giving up your weekends or, you know, doing classwork throughout the week. So let's make sure that you're ready. Let's make sure that you're ready to succeed.
Yeah, the other thing that's nice about having a standardized test with this population is, as you know, at least with our program, there's a pretty good spread in terms of years of work experience. Yeah. We see people who have 5 or maybe 6 years of work experience, and we see people who have 30-plus years of work experience. So it's nice to have one common piece of information from application to application so that you can kind of establish some baseline. Obviously, everybody brings other things to the table beyond just a standardized test score. It's very much a holistic process. But it does give a sort of nice element of commonality when you're reviewing files and making admissions decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. This is obviously just one little piece mm-hmm. in the big puzzle that you all are putting together.
Right.
But it does give that consistent, objective measure across all the candidates to just a small starting point.
The other thing that I think is nice, and we get the question sometimes from prospective students, like, why even require standardized tests at all? And so the last point sort of speaks to that. But the other thing I think is interesting when you think about it from the test taker standpoint. So first of all, you're going to have tests in our program. The adjustment of going back to school is probably one of the bigger learning curves for many students. You haven't had homework in a while. You haven't taken a test in a while. That's a shift. You're going to be taking classes that you may have not taken previously or perhaps maybe avoided previously. That happens sometimes. The other thing is the time component. So how are you going to make school fit within your schedule or vice versa? And so the 15 to 20 hours required to prepare for the executive assessment on average, you know, really kind of starts to look like what you might spend on average per week in our program, prepping for class, reflecting after class, meeting with your learning team, doing reading. And so when you think about that, it becomes an interesting proxy to figure out how school might work and interface with your schedule.
I think that's right. It is sort of, you know, what we've heard from candidates is it really helps them get in the mindset, really helps them commit to the process, and really sort of tells them internally that, yeah, I'm going to do this, and this is my first class, the executive assessment.
Yeah, I think it is that nice sort of litmus test, like how serious am I about this? Because you're right, it's a significant investment in terms of time and money, and it's a very intentional choice. It's a very considered choice for many of our applicants, but the taking a test like the executive assessment does sort of, it forces you to take that step saying, really, how serious am I about this? Because it's also an investment of time and money.
Yeah.
So So we were school number 7, but we were talking before the podcast. You're now at 52 schools.
We are. We're excited. We were very deliberate about how we launched this. The Graduate Management Admission Council loves data. We like to make sure that we are developing high-quality products for our schools and for our candidates. And so we were very methodical. We started this out with just a small group of schools. We spent a lot of time ensuring that the candidate experience was where it needed to be. We spent a lot of time determining what the prep needs were. And we just wanted to make sure that the test was, high quality. But once we got through that in the first year, and Darden was a part of the first group of schools that did this, number 7, we really have felt good about the product, and the feedback has been nothing but positive from the community. So we have accelerated expansion, and it feels like now we're adding schools every week. And yeah, we just crossed 50 schools a few weeks ago, and in the last 2 weeks, we've added another 2 schools. And this is global. These schools are around the world. These programs are around the world. And what's interesting now, Brett, is we started out as an executive MBA test, but often the needs of executives, working professionals, candidates of executive MBA programs, and part-time MBA programs are very similar. And so we've started expanding. And so now a lot of schools that started out with us on the executive MBA side have now even offered it on the part-time MBA side. So we're just, we're excited about the growth.
Yeah, the thing that's exciting from a program standpoint about the growth is just think about how that impacts market awareness about the test, right? So a number of the schools that we consistently overlap with, that's sort of admissions parlance for other applicants apply to these other schools too, accept the test. And so that means it's much more likely when we're on the phone with someone or emailing with someone that person has heard of the executive assessment. I think, obviously in year 3, still getting the word out and yes, things like this podcast and all the efforts that y'all are making at GMAC to sort of raise awareness about the test are all great, but still kind of in the startup phase.
We are. But you're right, absolutely right. The more schools that use it, the more schools that use it, right? There's that network effect. Candidates hear more about it. Candidates ask the questions. So, but we are early days, absolutely. We're just under 3 years, but we have, high expectations, mm-hmm. and I think the feedback has been positive. So, I think we'll continue to kind of take over the EMBA space mm-hmm. is really what our goals are. I think this is the right test mm-hmm. for the market, for the EMBA community, mm-hmm. And the feedback has been great.
Yeah, it was fun getting calls from colleagues at other schools who were not accepting the test but knew that we were, and what do you think of it, And we're obviously huge fans because we think it makes so much sense for this particular demographic. So that leads a little bit to the next question of, where does it go from here? Obviously, adding more schools. What's on the horizon?
Yeah, that's a large part of it. So we're continuing to kind of understand. Certainly, we're adding more schools, mm-hmm. and we're getting a lot of conversations going with many schools around the world that have heard about this or that want to start using it. But I think the other part of this is really continuing to improve the candidate experience, continuing to create tools and resources to make it easier for. Folks that want to know more about the EA, just what is it? How does it work? How do the scores work? Who's using it? Continuing to roll out more prep. We're going to launch some more prep in the spring in direct response to candidates calling our customer care team and saying, hey, I just want one more practice test. Can you all do that? And so we said, sure, that is absolutely doable. We don't want to overwhelm the community with prep. As I said, this is really designed around a lighter prep commitment. But we recognize that, some practice is useful, some refamiliarization is useful. So, now it's really just about tightening up all of the tools and resources for schools, for candidates, and continuing to expand and make this the test, the go-to test for the EMBA programs.
Yeah, we get that question. We get a few questions about the EA, and while I have you here, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, because the one question that we get is, well, how do people prepare for this? And we really say a couple of things. One, people mostly work from the materials that are available online. And as a sort of related thought to that. We say that that's actually provides some comfort in knowing that everybody's kind of working from the same universe of materials, as opposed to all these prep classes and all these different resources. It's just kind of this is what's available.
Yeah, so we actually obviously go out and we continue to get feedback from our schools and from our test takers. And as we survey our test takers, 90% of them say that they use the EA official practice materials to prepare. Now, they may be supplementing that with whatever they need to do, but that's good to hear that everyone uses that as a starting point. And it is important that the EA official practice assessments, the practice tests that you might take, really use the same exact algorithm, the same exact scoring approach. And so it really gives you a good preview of where you stand before you walk into that test center. And a lot of our surveys are showing, you know, surveys of test takers that that's what's happening. You know, I'm getting that score at home on my laptop, and it's very close to the score I'm getting in the test center. So that's a good piece of feedback that we've been getting. And it just supports the strength of the product.
And it's kind of a close, you know, sort of, okay, I've taken the test. All right, I got the score in my hand. I'm trying to figure out what it means, yeah. Right? So I know you've gotten this question from mm-hmm. test takers. So unlike the GMAT, where there's a percentile breakdown and all this kind of stuff, you know, you get the score and it's got a breakdown by section, but it's just an overall score. I think it'd be interesting for our listeners to hear a little bit more about how you think about the test score, how GMAT yeah. thinks about the test score.
I think the executive assessment is really designed to create a better experience for executives, to reduce the anxiety, to reduce the stress that's involved, that's inherent in the whole process of taking a test, applying to business school. And so we've been very deliberate about not releasing percentile tables to candidates. We feel that it's more important. The executive MBA is a relationship-based application process, recruiting process. And so we know, you know, it's important for candidates and prospects of executive MBA programs to be talking to their programs that they're interested in. And so what we think is more valuable is for those candidates to actually take the EA and then have a conversation with the schools that they're interested in and get a sense of where they stand. Because, you know, unlike the GMAT, our other big product, which supports, you know, a variety of program types, and often is a test that candidates take many, many times. The executive assessment, as I said, it's really designed to ensure that you are ready and for schools to determine if you are ready. And so that means you only need to take it once, maybe twice. And so really our, you know, kind of my recommendation is to really have that discussion with your school. I think you're going to know if you didn't do well. I think, you know, the test, just to, you know, in case it's not clear, the test goes from 100 to 200. The midpoint is 150, and that's roughly the mean, right? So, you know, 50th percentile, there you go. So you know that if you do above that or close to that, you probably did pretty good. It really depends on a school-by-school perspective because every school has a different need that they're trying to satisfy by looking at that test data.
Yeah, that's very true. And so we always try to help people contextualize it and say, well, we've gotten scores from the 140s to the 160s. You know, we're starting to get to a place where we think we have enough scores to report what we think is a meaningful average. And for the past couple of years, it's been around 152, 153. But again, we have people below that average. We have people above that average. And so it's very much a holistic process. We're not reading an application with a minimum score and or a qualifying score in mind, always considering that standardized test within the broader context of the application itself. And so it's helpful to hear because we do get that percentile breakdown. And yeah. Can you help me figure this out? The other thing that particularly for Darden, I think as a case method school is interesting to me is the sort of the focus on integrative reasoning and reasoning. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that aspect of the test?
Yeah, that the integrated reasoning, unlike the GMAT, is one third of the executive assessment. So when we did our research and we talked to alumni and we talked to students and the classroom folks, the faculty, we really kept hearing about integrated reasoning feeling like the most relevant type of questioning. And for those that aren't familiar, integrated reasoning essentially is looking at sort of disparate data sources or data types and sort of making conclusions, looking at them in different ways, you know, sort of very similar to what most people do at some point in their job, and certainly what they'll be asked to do in the classroom. So we really made integrated reasoning a focal point of the executive assessment. It is the first section that you will see when you come into the executive assessment, and it determines how you proceed through the rest of the test, where you start taking sort of verbal reasoning and quantitative reasoning. But the integrated reasoning, unlike the GMAT, on the executive assessment, it is incorporated into your total score. And it has, it continues to be a section that I think candidates continue to tell us feels like the real world.
So if I'm a prospective student listening to this podcast, thinking about next steps, gosh, this test sounds interesting to me, what would you advise?
Yeah, I think there's a couple paths, right? So you can certainly come to our website, www.gmac.com/EA. You can read up on the EA. You can do some of the free practice questions to start getting a feel for it. And then if you want, you can also buy some of the prep if you want to do some more intense preparation. So that's one path. I think also go to your school's website. I think see how they're thinking about the EA. And, you know, and then certainly you should potentially have a conversation with your school, you know, before you even, you know, go too far down the process. So a number of different pathways. Certainly we have a lot of information on our website, though, that's available.
Well, Manish, thank you so much for being here today. It's great to talk with you a little bit more about the test. And, you know, GMAC has been such a great partner in the rollout. So credit to you. As I mentioned, you've been on our blog. You wrote some sort of answered some questions we had about the EA in text form. So I encourage all of you listening to check that out. In addition, Eric Chambers has been on one webinar. He's going to be on a webinar again late January with us, talking more about the executive assessment, sort of breaking it down a little bit more granularly about how the test works and some next steps. And so it's been great to be part of this partnership. Very excited that you're now at 52 schools.
Yeah. And I also want to mention that you guys do a great job with these working professional programs too. Darden and their peers, some of their peer schools, yeah, sort of provide these opportunities for candidates of executive MBA and part-time programs to really, you know, kind of get some good insight and feedback into the process. And GMAC has been appreciative to be a part of that and talk about our various programs.
Yeah, I appreciate the plug. So for those of you who are wondering, gosh, will any of these events be happening soon? The answer is yes. So we're setting our spring calendar right now. I can say we'll be in Houston in February and D.C. and New York in March. So keep an eye on our events and receptions page for updates. The nice thing about these events is that you can come and connect with 6-7 schools. You can hear a presentation on the GMAT as well as the executive assessment and connect with GMAC professionals. So these are really convenient ways for you to learn about your options in the working professional MBA space, because the programs that participate certainly are, you know, we have executive MBA programs like ours, but we also have part-time and more working professionals, and we have global programs, as you know, here at Darden. We have an executive MBA and a global executive MBA, and some of our peer institutions that participate in these programs have those as well. So with all that said, so there's many, many ways for you to continue to learn about the executive assessment. So Manish, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me here. Really enjoyed it.
And that was my conversation with Manish Daria of the Graduate Management Admission Council. Of course, as always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, any topics you'd like for us to cover here on the Exec MBA podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.